Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 136, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Dust to dust the mortal dies, both the foolish and the wise. None forever can remain, each must leave his hoarded gain. And what follows, 1, 2, and 4 of 136. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 25th chapter, the first 13 verses. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and go ye out to meet him." And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, and for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So far the reading of God's holy word. We announce that we have declined the call to the Linden congregation, and also that Reverend C. Vogelaar has accepted the call to the Colville Avenue, Michigan congregation. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou art eternal. But as we are have a beginning, and we shall also come to our end, and then our soul and that shall live on. For Thou hast made us as creatures that are not finite, but that shall continue with Thee to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, then how solemn is our life. For we are gathered in this evening hour in a special way, wherein the time and that Thou hast given in the year that is gone by is now very soon to come to its end, to come to its close. But as Thou dost send forth the sun day by day in its circuits, and the moon also month by month, and that time may be tracked by Thee each and every moment as we are traveling through it to a great and never-ending eternity. And whereas Thou dost bring in this year, in these hours, now to a close, and then Thou speakest unto us, from year to year of that time, wherein we shall also come to the end of our time here upon this earth, and we shall enter into that place where time shall be no longer. Oh Lord, then there is a message that comes to each and every one of us. It is not that which we by nature do desire to consider, for we read in thy holy word that we call our lands after our own name, and that we think to dwell here forever, and that we consider not that we are travelers to thy judgment seat. And then it behooves us in this evening to stop for a moment when we have begun this year together. Then it is behooving us to end it also together in thy house of prayer. Oh, to acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given in the year that is so quickly gone by. And that in all the needs for this life, in our families, in our businesses, but also within thy house of prayer, and that we have received that blessed opportunity to come Sabbath by Sabbath into thy house of prayer, and that we have received thy word preached and read unto us. Lord, then we also must give an account thereof as soon at thy judgment seat. And we have no impression thereof by nature, except for that which is of the flesh. But oh, then we need saving impressions. We need life from the dead. We need thy spirit to awaken us out of our death sleep. Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us, because the day that is coming, wherein the door shall be shut, as we have read in this evening hour, and that time is not yet. For if it was so, then we would not be permitted anymore to gather together in thy house. And then our mouth as thy servant would go closed. And then there would be no more message to the inhabitants of the world. There would be no more opportunity. But thou still givest it unto us even in this evening hour. Oh, there are indeed some. They have become old. And they have are now approaching to the last hours of their life. Lord, thou knowest where that they are, and thou knowest the many fears of their hearts, with the knowledge of what is necessary, and then to feel that we miss it. Oh, give them in this evening a cry, and give us a cry also for them. But when, Lord, that we do not know it, thou knowest that it can come upon us so very, very suddenly. We remember those that do suffer from serious diseases, those that have had that message come also to them, that they have soon to leave this life. O Lord, that thou may give also in their hearts a cry to thee, and that thou may supply in all the needs. But oh, do remember each and every one of us together. For we with our children, we are living in the time. But that time that is so very, very short. Wilt thou cause thy word then to have a place in our hearts in this evening hour? Oh, that the last time, that thy word may come to us in this year, may be the time of thy good pleasure, that we may be together for the profit of our souls. Wilt thou remember all thy sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Then we may acknowledge thee that thou hast sent one of thy servants once again in the midst of us as a denomination. Lord, remember thou the congregation which he will leave behind him. For thou knowest also what their disappointment now is. Wilt thou supply for them? Wilt thou grant more servants in thy vineyard? Wilt thou be pleased to bring him in thy time to his new place of labor? Wilt thou cause him to be a blessing in the midst of us once again as a denomination? Lord, wilt thou look upon those also that have been disappointed, when in this day then we have had to decline the call that was sent also unto us. Lord, remember them, and wilt thou supply out of thy fullness beyond the right and on the left? And could it please thee all to bind us more together as a congregation and a minister? O Lord, thou hast given us to labor in this place. And that bond, then we must say, that is not broken by thee. O Lord, wilt thou cause our labors to be sanctified in the midst of this people? O that thou may give, that thy Spirit may accompany the foolishness of the preaching. Lord, thou knowest what we are. Then time and again, then we have to come before thee to say, Lord, we do not know how to go forward and what to bring and how to bring it. But Lord, thou hast to this moment not put us to shame. But could eternity yet tell that we have been a little instrument in thy hand for the sake of many in this our little flock? And could it please thee to increase the number in thy own kingdom in our midst? Use thy word. Remember all thy servants of whom thou hast sent among the inhabitants of this world. When the world does draw also to its close, when we may see the footsteps of the King, when they are approaching, when soon that great trumpet will sound in the midst of this world, when every eye shall see thee, Lord, that thou may cause us, in the time that is still permitted unto us, to seek that we may be reconciled unto our Maker. Strengthen thy people. Give them the necessary instruction within their life, that thy Spirit may work mightily for their comfort, for their edification, to bring back those that wander, and to encourage those that are dismayed. And wilt thou look upon all those that have need for thee? Show thyself in the midst of thy people. Be with the children. Give to them also in this night an understanding heart. Lord, dost thou not often begin in the life of thy people when they are in the days of their youth? That thou mayst so bind this matter tonight upon the hearts of the young, upon the children, and upon the youth, and that they may not be able to let thee go anymore, except that thou would bless them. Remember us then all together, and wilt thou supply for us in the bringing of thy word? Oh, stand thou on our right and on our left, and give that thy Spirit may keep our mouth, and that we may be led from step to step, that the understanding may receive thy word, but that the heart may be pricked, that we may receive that profit from thee that thou alone art able to give. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, and the earth and the fullness with which it is stored. The world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For He on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. Psalter 57, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this evening hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Matthew chapter 25, the middle part of the 8th verse. Matthew 25, verse 8, the middle part, only these words, "Give us of your oil." So far the words of our text, the request of the five foolish virgins. First, the substance of this request. Second, the urgency of this request. And third, the answer to this request. Give us of your oil, the request of the five foolish virgins. First, the substance. Second, the urgency. And third, the answer to this request. Give us of your oil. Maybe you do that too sometimes, children. You see what your brother, your sister has. They have something that you do not have. And then you want it also. And you say, "Give that to me." Or maybe they have lots of something, some candy, and you have none. And then you ask, not for it all, no, but you ask if you may have some, that you may have also a little bit. Do you share? That is not so nice. When someone has much of something and you have none. Give us of your oil. How is it in the words of our text? That is not children that are asking, but that is adults that are asking. Then it is not an asking only after some candies, no, but it is asking after oil. A kind of oil that is oil for a lamp. We don't have that anymore. Today we have a flashlight. And then we have to have a battery to make that to run, that we may have some light. That was not in that time. No, they had a lamp. And they must have oil in order that that lamp may burn. Give us of your oil. Thus we hear a request for some of this oil, because some have it and others do not have it. And then it is a request that they may share now some of their oil. What do you think, children? What do you think? Should they not give them now something of that oil? Would you not do so? To give something of that oil that you may share what you have? That seems to be so. And yet it is not so. It is impossible. You say, "I do not understand." Then we must see what this is all about. Because this is a parable. Because this has a meaning and that goes much, much deeper than just this outward story. Will you listen also, children, in this evening hour? Who is speaking? Give us of your oil. We read the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil. Thus we read, it is some that are called foolish that are here asking. What is that about? What is that parable about? What do we read? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who is speaking? It is the Lord Jesus. And he makes a likeness. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. Thus he makes a representation. A representation of his church. A representation of his people, the kingdom of God. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. Of what does he speak? He does not speak about the kingdom of glory. No, he speaks yet about the kingdom of God as they are here still upon the earth. Who is speaking? It is Christ. He is the king of that kingdom, and he knows that kingdom. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. A virgin, that is a symbol of one who is pure, a symbol of one who is undefiled. Is that so also in your life? Young girls, young ladies, are you pure? Are you undefiled? And what is your estimation of virginity? What is your estimation of being undefiled? How is that in your life, young men? What is your estimation of one who is undefiled? All do you ask to be kept then from the Lord? Do you not play then with fire in your life because of your high estimation of virginity, of purity? The Lord Jesus, he likens his church, his own church, to virgins, those who are separated unto holiness. That is the desire of the new life of that church of God. They do not run with this world into that excess of riot. We read in the Word of God, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The Lord Jesus takes his likeness from a wedding as it has happened in the days in which he was living. When that bridegroom with his friends would leave his house, and he would go to the house of the bride, and then he would bring that bride unto his own house. And then there would be the friends of the bride, the virgins, and they would be waiting along the way for that time in the night when the bridegroom would come. And when they would conduct that bridegroom unto the house of their friend. And so we read, they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Thus it is a likeness. The Lord Jesus speaks about a lamp. What does he mean with that lamp? That lamp is pointing to the profession of the outward church. There is a lamp. There is a lamp that is shining in the midst of this world by those who may make a profession of Christianity. A lamp by which that people do walk. A lamp which the whole world is able to see. Or even when that name, and that name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is professed by us, then it is as a lamp that is shining in the midst of this present evil world, where Satan is the prince in this world. And yet there is a great difference. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says, five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Thus, he does not make a distinction between the church and the world, but he makes a distinction within that church of God itself. As the apostle says, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. That is a distinction that is not very plain unto other people. Often it is not. No, he speaks about wise virgins and foolish virgins. And where does wisdom and foolishness exist? It exists within the person. It exists within the character that is in itself not to be seen by all those that are around. And it is only in the fruits of that wisdom, only in the fruits of that foolishness, that the wisdom or that foolishness is becoming evident unto others. Often it is hid. Often it is hid even unto the very, very end. Thus, a great difference. Give us of your oil. What is this? This is the manifestation of that foolishness. What do we read? They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Here's the great difference. The great difference as a result of the foolishness and the wisdom. The great difference that is, the Lord Jesus says, in the oil that is taken along in these vessels. No, the great difference that is not in the lamp of profession. The great difference is not that which may be seen by others in this world. The great difference is not that which is manifest in this world and in this church. The great difference is not that which is coming out of the mouth. But the great difference that is lying in a place that nobody is able to see. Oil. Oil within the vessels. A long hidden difference between the foolish and the wise. A difference that does not become manifest until we read here this very, very late hour. But the difference that has everything to do with how long that that lamp of profession is going to burn. Love in the hearts of those wise, and that would make them to speak unto their fellow professors. Love in their heart. That would make them to say, oh, you have a profession, but do you also have oil in your lamp? Oh, it is love in the heart that would make that people to inquire, whether the profession of their brother, the profession of their sister, that is going to last even through death and into eternity. But such an inquisition, such a question, is there oil also in your vessel? That is not a question that is so nicely taken by the foolish virgins. Then the foolish virgins are ready to say, "Oh, what hast thou to do to judge another? Look ye to your own profession." Give us of your oil, or if the lamb, that speaks about the profession, then of what does that oil speak? That oil speaks about the truth of that profession. That oil that speaks about grace in the heart. That oil that speaks about true saving faith. Thus the Lord Jesus, he is telling this parable. And what is the Lord Jesus saying about the kingdom of heaven here upon the earth? He says that it is possible that we have a lamp of profession burning in this world, but that we miss the oil, that we miss the grace in the heart, that we miss that true saving faith. The Lord Jesus says there is much light that is coming by the natural understanding while we are in this world, by which men are walking through this world. Thus he is not speaking of those that are living out their life in sin, but he is speaking of those who are within themselves hypocrites. Then he is speaking of those that are deceiving themselves, the hypocrite. Oh, the hypocrite is much concerned with what? He is much concerned with his present profession. He is much concerned with the light of that lamp which he himself is carrying through this world. He is scoffing. He is scoffing at the pains that his brethren, the wise virgins, he is scoffing at the pains that they are taking, and that they may have oil within their vessels. Or he is mocking within his heart at the pains which a man does take to dig deep, that he may set his foundation upon a rock. And yet, we read, he goes forth. He goes forth to meet the bridegroom, just the same as those wise virgins, just as if that he is one of them. There is hypocrite, but there are also those who actually deceive themselves. Those who indeed in themselves are sincere, but whose foundation is a wrong foundation. There are those who do build upon the historical knowledge. There are those who build on the general promises. There are those who are building on the providential deliverances they have received in their life. There are those that are building upon tears and emotions and feelings. And then they may have a certain hope, but it is a hope that is without ground. There is no oil in their vessels. Give us of your oil. Thus, what are they seeking? What are they asking for? Oh, they are asking for that grace that is now in the heart of those wise virgins. Oh, they wish to have a share in it. because they wish now to go along with that true people of the Lord? Or is that wrong that we desire a share with that people? Or is that then covetousness? Is that then a sin against the 10th commandment? No, it is not. What does David say? He says, "Remember me, O Lord, and with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, that I may see the good of thy chosen, and that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance." To desire the blessed portion of that people, no, that is not wrong. Give us of your oil, O congregation. Do we desire it also? Can we not miss that blessed portion? And then we see the urgency in our second thought. Is that desire also urgent in our heart? Give us of your oil. No, that is not a bad desire. Oh, if we only all had such a desire. But what is wrong with their request? It is in the wrong time. And what is the time of their request? We read it here, and at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." There was a different time. There was a different time. What do we read here? There was a time, we read, while the bridegroom tarried. Thus that bridegroom did not come immediately. There was a time when that bridegroom was not there yet. That is a time, congregation, that the enemy mocks at. That is a time that the enemy, he says, where is the promise of his coming? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But then there is not only the enemy in this world, but then there is the entire visible church, to whom that word of God is coming to Sabbath after Sabbath day. And now what do we read? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That was not only the foolish virgins, that was also the wise virgins. Oh, the wise virgins, they also cannot keep themselves awake. They cannot keep themselves awake during that long time that bridegroom is tarrying, because they also have a weakness in their flesh. We read of the disciples and that they are falling asleep when the Lord Jesus, he is suffering. Thus the wise are sleeping. They are sleeping with what? They are sleeping with the grace that they have received in their life. They are resting. They are resting upon that which the Lord has done for them in former years. And when they are sleeping with this, then their lamp that is growing dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. That is a shame, because what did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says to his church that they ought to be as a city upon an hill. They ought to be as a candle upon a candlestick. Because of that profession that they do make, because they are his church, then their light that ought to shine in the midst of this world. And when that church that is sleeping, and when they are waiting in that long time while that bridegroom tarries, at that time there is so little advancing in that spiritual life, there is so little growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in a special way, it is so very dangerous for those foolish virgins when they are falling asleep. Why? Because they are sleeping with a mere outward profession. And they are resting upon what is insufficient. They are resting upon a false foundation. And they are sleeping. And they are assuring themselves that it is going to be well in the end. They are saying, peace, peace, when there actually is no peace, because there is no oil in their vessels. Oh no, we do not hear, while that bridegroom is tarrying, that those foolish virgins, that they are awaking those wise, that they are concerned for the oil that is in their lamps, that they are concerned for the truth of the matter. No, we do not hear while that bridegroom is tarrying, and that those foolish virgins, they are saying then unto the wise, give us of your oil. But it is the opposite. They all slumbered and slept. But there will come a different time. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. It is, congregation, a midnight cry. Did we ever experience that in our life? That we are awakened suddenly in our sleep in the dark night, when there is some loud noise, when there is a shout, when there is all of a sudden lightning and thunder, and then suddenly in the night, and then we are awakening, and then we are so very fearful. At midnight, there was a cry made when everyone, it says, was sleeping, when no one was watching. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus say? Oh, he says, no, not necessarily that his coming will be in the nighttime. No, that may be in the middle of the day. And not necessarily that we are going out of this life in the nighttime. No, that may also be in the middle of the day. When something is coming upon us in this life. But what does he say? That at midnight, that means when we are sleeping. That means when we are least expecting. That means when men are not watching. It means that the coming of the Lord, that will be sudden. What do we read in the Word of God? How was it for the Egyptians in the land of Egypt? Oh, then it was in the middle of that night, and that angel of death was creeping into the houses of those Egyptians. Is it not how it happens in the life of a man? In the life of a boy, of a girl, a father, a mother, a grandfather, a grandmother? Oh, is that not the way it is, congregation? And when the Lord is coming, and when suddenly there is an awful sickness in our life, or when suddenly there is some awful accident, or is that not how that it is taking place in our life? Even when we have heard it our whole life long, and when everyone has fallen around us, but it has never touched us yet ourselves, oh, is that not how that it is happening now in the life of a man? Suddenly, and when we are not looking for it, oh, when we are busy, busy here and busy there, and suddenly that message is coming, suddenly that cry is made, oh, suddenly, then we hear, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And then, oh, then he is there. Oh, then it is that time of great moment. Then it is that time of great importance. Then it is that moment that all the world does await, young and old, great and small. Oh, it is the time of the coming of that bridegroom. It is the time that the Lord is coming to gather His church. It is the time that the Lord will bring His church in unto that wedding feast. It is the time of judgment, whether that be for us personally, or whether it be the public judgment that is coming upon that last day. Oh, it is the time and that a soul and body it will stand before the judgment seat of God. Give us of your oil. Who is that? Oh, we hear it again. Give us of your oil. And then we hear something of the urgency of this cry. Oh, give us of your oil. And we hear something of the despair that is within this cry. Who is it? Oh, it is coming from whom? It is coming from some among the virgins. It is coming from some among that professing church, the Lord Jesus says. Oh, those virgins, they arise. They arise at what? They arise at that midnight cry. And then those virgins, we read, they trim their lamps. Oh, there is great shame among that church of God. Great shame because they have slumbered, because they have slept. There is great shame because that lamp of profession that has grown so dim in the midst of this evil world that it could hardly be seen anymore, and that there was a church even in the midst of this world. But then that church, oh, and then they trim their lamps, and oh, then it is not long. It is not long ere the Lord, He is bringing back again that which He has planted in the heart of that people. Oh, it is not long until that true faith that is burning once again into a flame. Oh, it is not long before that people, they are rejoicing at that message that the bridegroom, He is coming, that the bridegroom, He is near at hand. Oh, that bridegroom whom their soul has learned to love, to desire, to long for in their life. And then, oh, then there is another cry. Oh, give us of your oil. Oh, another cry from some among them. One here among them, one there among them, one whom they had never thought, one whom they had never questioned, one who was always in that house of the Lord, oh, one whom they had thought, in whom did dwell the truth of grace. Oh, they are there also, and they are trimming also their lamps, but they are unsuccessful. Oh, they cannot. And then the foolishness becomes manifest. Then that which lived in their hearts becomes manifest. It becomes evident to all of the virgins that they had a lamp. They had a mouth to speak, but they had no oil in their vessels. Their religion, that was only an outward profession. Oh, they have never taken care that the root of the matter might be in them. Oh, they have gone on in their profession with a secret despising of the working of the Holy Spirit of the Lord, to think that it was not necessary for me. Oh, they have never needed the saving operation
of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And they have never sought for the effectual working of that Spirit within their own heart and life. No, all that was common, that was sufficient for them. Oh, they had never sought after the knowledge of their wretched state and condition before God. They had never asked for the application of that holy word of God. Oh, they have actually despised the way of sanctification, except as it has been before other men, that other men may see that lamp of my profession, but inwardly they have despised the commandments of the Lord. Oh, inwardly they have despised that life of holiness that was to them a burden. And the secret, there was a secret delight to live in the ways of sin, and when no eye but God's could see them in this world. Give us, oh, give us of your oil, the Lord Jesus. He says that everything changes in this day. Oh, the day of the awakening, the day of the great awakening. Then the Lord Jesus, who knows that church, who knows what is living in that true church, who knows what is living in the heart of each and every one of that visible church. Oh, then he declares, and that in that day of awakening, that this cry is going to be heard. Give us of your oil. Oh, what does he picture here? Oh, he paints, as it were, an awful picture before us. He paints before us a picture of awful confusion. He paints before us a picture of great despair that is going to be in that all-decisive moment. And when a father, he is going to look upon his son, in whom the Lord has worked, and that great work, and when that father is going to plead with his son, oh, my son, give me also some of that oil. Oh, that son. And when he will look upon a father whom he has despised inwardly in his heart, and when he will say, Father, oh, Father, give me a little bit of your oil. And when a daughter to her mother, oh, when a daughter will say it to her grandmother whom she has despised in her heart, oh, give me, grandmother, just in these moments now, give me just a little bit of that oil. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, how dark when a man has walked in the sparks of his own fire all his life long. And when those sparks, they shall no longer exist, on that great day of days, and when that whole lamp of profession will disappear, oh, then how dark it is going to become. Give us, oh, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, then the eyes, they shall go open for the superficiality of their own work. Then the eyes will go open for the insufficiency of that temporary faith. Oh, then they will see how that they were able to get through this life with that lamp of profession, but they are not able to go out of this life therewith. And then they will find themselves standing, oh, standing in that same place as the wicked, same place as the cursor, the same place as the swearer, or the same place as him who declares himself to be an atheist and who has no desire for anything of the service of the Lord. Oh, in that last day, to stand without light, also with all of this wicked world, and then to see, oh, the preciousness of what that true church may have, that oil in their vessels, that grace in their heart, that true faith that has been worked by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Give us, oh, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Oh, hast thou? Hast thou but one blessing yet for me, oh, my Father? Bless me, even me also, oh, my Father. Oh, give us of your oil. Have you just a little bit now to spare, that I may have a little light in this all-decisive moment? Congregation, let us sing. Psalter 267, 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah, reign supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1, 2, and 3 of 267. Our last thought, the answer to this request, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Not so, it shall not be. No, it cannot be. You shall ask, you shall plead,
you shall desire to have, but not so, it will not be. And why not? Because there is no desire on the part of the wise that they may share that grace with others. Oh, far from it. Far from it, because that grace that makes a man so liberal that he would give a portion to everyone. Oh, that is not the reason. But the Lord Jesus says, lest there be not enough for us and you, oh, that church. They cannot give anything to anyone. No, they have only that which is sufficient for themselves. They have no more. It is congregation so personal, oh, and then as relatives, as a father, as a mother, oh, we can stand at the deathbed of our children, of our relatives. And then we can realize that soon for them that bridegroom is coming. And oh, if you could now give it to them, but you stand there so helpless. Oh, because it is a matter that is between God and the soul of a man. It is a personal matter. Not so. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Oh, we cannot give it to you, but there is a place to receive it. But how often is it not? How is it when a person is seeking that oil in that last moment? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. O congregation, once that midnight cry is heard, oh, how seldom is it that a man is able to obtain that oil in that very, very short time. Once that cry is heard, then that bridegroom is so close. He is so on his way that it is so seldom that a man, when he has once heard that message, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, how seldom, once that cry is heard, does a man receive that oil in his vessels. Oh, it is so hard to obtain that oil when we are lying upon our deathbed. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. All they that were ready, they that had oil in their vessels, they went in to what? To that marriage supper of the Lamb. And we read that door was shut. They are inside. And they are inside, never ever to be able to come outside again. Oh, how secure is that blessed church of God that may have oil in their vessels. But the Lord Jesus in this parable, he is speaking especially about those as a warning who are standing on the other side of that door. And what does he say here? He says, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. O Christ says, how many shall seek it when it is too late? And so Bunyan says, I saw that there was a road
unto hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from that city of destruction. Congregation, what do we read here? We read here that the Lord Jesus, He is setting before us a great contrast, setting two things, one over against the other. No, that is not what we do, but this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, a great contrast. He speaks about those that were ready and those that cry, "Give us of your oil," those that were not ready. Oh, what is the message? It is a parable. What is the message? It is a painting. What is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is a message about preparation. Preparation. Preparation to die and to meet God. Give us of your oil. And then He paints, as it were, the distress for us. He brings us, as it were, even to this moment, that we can feel in our life for a moment what it shall one day be to die without that oil in our vessel. That we can ask ourselves, will that now also be our cry? And when we are standing at the gates of death, and when that cry does come, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," children, oh, children, in the morning, then you are also getting ready. How many things do we prepare for in this life? And in the morning, you are getting ready. You get ready for school. And there are so many things for you to do. And when you have gotten up early in the morning, and when you are all prepared, and then when that bus is coming, then you are standing there, and you are calm, and you are ready. And when that bus comes, then you are walking on that bus. Oh, was there ever a time, children, when you slept too long in the morning? Was there ever a time when you slept too long in the morning? And then what happened? Oh, then somebody said, "The bus. Oh, the bus that is there." And then how was it for you? Oh, then you said, "I am not ready. Oh, I have still my lunch. I have still my shoes. I cannot find them. Where is my coat?" And that bus, oh, that is there already. Then there is for you great confusion, is there not? Oh, and what was the wish of your heart? Oh, then you had said inside, "Oh, had I not slept so long this morning, had I begun my preparation earlier, then I have been ready. And when that bus that is standing there, that is boys and girls, that is now the picture that the Lord Jesus is picturing for us in this day. Oh, how will it be for us when we have to die? Will we wish, congregation, that we had not slumbered? Will we wish that we had not slept so long in our life? While that bridegroom still tarried, Solomon, he says, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Oh, Reverend Kite, in the end of his life, when he had so much to suffer, Oh, he said, I am so glad that what had to take place in my life, that has already taken place. Give us of your oil. Is that not an awful cry? Will that also be our cry tonight? Tonight we come to the end. Oh, tonight a year lies behind us. There is again for us a picture soon, our life that will lie behind us. How would it be now? Oh, let us give an honest answer between God and our soul in this evening hour. How would it be now when the Lord tonight, oh, when that cry would be heard for us now in the middle of the night, when we would awaken suddenly tonight and we would hear that cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Oh, then would it be also our cry, give us of your oil, because our life that now stands behind us, oh, give us of your oil, because that bridegroom, he is coming, because that bridegroom, he is now standing there. Oh, give us of your oil, because death, oh, death that is now come upon me, and I must stand now before that judgment seat of God. Oh, give us of your oil, because I have looked hard in my life after my husband, after my wife, after my children, but I have failed to get oil in my vessel. Oh, because I have not spared pains, because I have not spared resources, because I have not spared time for my business, but I have no oil in my vessel. Oh, give us of your oil. Oh, give us of your oil, because that time, oh, that is flown by in my life, and I have never realized it, though I have been told over and over, and that time that is as a vapor that is soon disappearing. Oh, and now that Son of Man is come, and I have failed to watch, and I am now unprepared, and now that long eternity, and that is standing directly before me. Oh, give us of your oil, because my lamp of profession is gone out. I have practiced it, yes, my whole life, but now I understand that it was really not enough. Oh, it was not enough to come and go from the place of the holy. It was not enough to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I am now lying on a bed that is too short and the covering that is now too narrow. Oh, and that is so with my baptism, that is so with my confession, that is so with my church going. Oh, give us of your oil. I have never realized the seriousness of my life. I have gone through my life. Everything has been temporal. I have never realized how serious that it was, that I have a soul that is destined for a never-ending eternity. Oh, I have never thought to meditate. I have never thought to read. I have never taken time to pray. And that truth, oh, that we may have, I have relied upon that truth, yes, but I do not have the truth in my soul. Oh, give us of your oil. Oh, I never have seen how important that oil was. Oh, give it to us, because I have never realized how great my sins and miseries are. And I have never seen the beauty that was in that blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanseth from all sin. And now I have sin on my soul, and that is unforgiven, and that great eternity that is lying before me, and that time of grace is gone, and I am unreconciled to my Maker. Oh, congregation, one word, oh, one word, that from the Lord Jesus Christ himself in this evening hour, what is it? Go ye to them that sell and buy for yourselves before that door is forever shut. and that it would be a cry on that great day of days, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. Oh, that is a picture, it is a warning that thou dost give unto us. Oh, thou showest to us the distress that there shall be on that great day of days for those who have come all their life, come and gone from the place of the holy. Oh, what an awful cry. Lord, we beseech thee. Oh, we can try to bring it with all our power to the ear, but there is nothing that we can bring in the heart. But thou art able, oh, it is thy own word. Bring it now in the heart of man this day, before that it is forever too late. And wilt thou keep us through the night to come? And wilt thou wake us in safely again in the beginning of the new year? And give us a desire, and that we may be together again in thy house of prayer. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 420. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.